This is Phyllis, and you're listening to Big JD and Lippo on the Jabbercast.
Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo, talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week, from the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast podcast, talk radio on the go, listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo, all rights reserved, listener feedback encouraged, some conditions apply, open mind sold separately. Hello, and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
Not too bad.
That's good.
How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Nice, beautiful Sunday morning here in British Columbia again. Just taking it easy, enjoying our vacation.
You are you?
Yes. We're doing the show a little differently today, though. I'm recording my voice on a micro track, but then we wouldn't be doing the show live, would we?
Yeah, that's right. You let the cat out of the bag.
Well, we'll have to let our listeners figure that one out themselves.
Yeah, I was kind of a little bit fighting this thing about, I wasn't putting on the internet on the sites and stuff about Lana being in Europe because of her brother.
Right.
But of course, I decided to stick something up, you know, let listeners and that know why she was away because, so they could keep her in their thoughts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's kind of a good thing. It's kind of personal, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you want people to know so they can wish well.
Sure.
People positive care. Thinking helps, I think.
Yep.
And so her brother's was diagnosed with cancer and she's over there with her family.
And we all do wish them well.
Thank you very much. I do myself. And so I've had some co-hosts on the Jeff and Lana show, fill-ins. It's been kind of neat. What's our show on today?
It's about art. Artisans. Art class. Art school. Art bell. Art link letter. No.
Artichokes.
Artichokes.
Yeah, everything art link letter. Yeah, that's pretty good. I used to have art link letter encyclopedias when I was a kid.
I loved him.
Yeah.
That no one could relate to children like he could.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome.
Yeah. Got me through many a school project.
Is that right? Those encyclopedias did?
Yeah. Yeah, the encyclopedias. Got those from my Aunt Sally, I believe.
Awesome.
And then, you know, my brother and I, we'd eventually lose one here and there. Then the whole set was like miscombobulated. And that kind of sucked later on when you'd really value that collection, you know, when you get a little older.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
To be able to have that was kind of neat.
How many volumes were in the encyclopedia?
I don't remember. I think there was like 30 or something. 30
oh,
something.
Wow. Okay. I was thinking.
I think there was a fair amount.
Okay.
They were thin.
And one book was more than a letter, I guess, would you say? I was thinking there'd be an A and a B and a C book or whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how that worked, but I think you're right that they were not just I don't remember. No, they weren't just letters, though. I mean, the alphabet or anything. They weren't like a dictionary. They were everything.
Right.
I don't know. Encyclopedias cover so much.
You could probably go on eBay and find a copy of those.
Probably, yeah. Post that up in the show notes. Hey!
So where do you want to get started in the art realm?
Oh, boy. Well, artists of all kinds and all things art, I guess we'll be discussing today. And it just encompasses so much. I mean, when you first think of art, I think that people think of drawings and paintings and sketches, you know, that kind of art. When you say the word art, don't you think?
Right.
As opposed to maybe saying the arts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When you think of art, you think automatically of something like that, something painted and whatever. And maybe mentioning some of the big artists of our time.
Like Elvis?
No, see, I was kind of thinking about, well, yeah, Elvis and Elton John and artists like that. That's musicians, which is another area of art.
Yes. And the only reason I mentioned Elvis is because there's a big Elvis, I don't know what you want to call it, festival here in Penticton.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, Elvis was a huge artist.
Yes.
And it's funny.
He was huge, too.
Yeah. There's a lot of great bands that, you know, are artists that we like and adore and it's our favorite. But, I mean, if you really have to think of somebody, like, really big artists of our day, they're
going to be people like Elvis Presley. Even if you don't listen to that kind of music, it's Elvis, it's Sinatra, it's Billy Joel, Elton John, Rod Stewart, you know, people that have made a huge impact on that industry.
For sure.
You know, as opposed to some, you know, Godsmack and whatever, you know, rock bands that we might be into and things like that, that are, you know, a lot of them are fairly big, but those that made a huge impact are, you know, these big artists.
Yeah. And they'll make a lasting impression. They'll be, their legacy will live on for a long time.
Exactly. And I think another, if you're actually talking about the rock field, it's somebody like Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix. And I think those are names that'll kind of live on in
for
infamy.
Sure. Yeah. A bit ahead of their time and all encompassing at the same time.
I'd really wonder what Jimi Hendrix would be doing now, for sure.
Yeah, that's hard to imagine.
Yeah. What kind of music would he be doing, and what would his style be like today?
Yeah.
He's quite the innovative player.
That's for sure. The only reason I started mentioning music and arts together is because on last Friday, my son had his graduation from school, from grade school, and during the graduation ceremony, they give out awards, you know, the highest grade average. There's the honor roll, valedictorian, geography award, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And they also gave out a arts award.
Mm-hmm.
And my son Jonas won.
Which was arts award, and he won for something
for
music.
For jamming. Like, you know, music was pretty big in his class because his teacher was a... or is in a band, and so the music was always put up as very important to learn in class. Like, that was a big part of their art curriculum, was music.
Well, congratulations to Jonas, for sure.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. He must be happy about that.
Yeah, I was very surprised, and pleasantly surprised, and very proud of him at the same time.
Well, he's a pretty good player, and he's young. Which is kind of neat. I mean, to be singing and playing at the same time and that sort of thing. Like, you know what I mean? He's only got up to go.
That's right.
And that's really cool at his age.
Sure.
Which is, I mean, graduating grade 8, I take it, right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, going into high school. Wow. Mm-hmm. Like, I still can't fathom your kids are that young.
I know, they're a little on the large side.
Yeah, they're big kids. I mean, they look older.
Yes, they do. And they act a bit older, too, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say that, too. I noticed, like, you know, when I'm there, they don't seem so kiddish.
Right. And
but all kids go through young things.
That's right. I know we both did.
That's right.
Based on our conversations. I guess it was, when I say surprising, I wasn't surprised that he deserved it. I meant to say I was surprised because I know there's artistically... superior kids in his class as far as drawing and painting and that kind of stuff goes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so like you say, he might have had a little bit of there with his teacher being a musician.
Yes, exactly.
And that's okay.
That's okay. That's right. Something he can be proud of himself anyway.
I know as far as actual artists, like painters and things like that, I've seen some real, you know, paintings from some of these artists, and it's pretty amazing to actually look at some of these real paintings, like when, you know, I've been in Chicago and other places where they've actually have some of their art, and it's kind of neat to see some of that because it I don't know, I guess you just get this kind of an overwhelming feeling of, because you know how big these guys are or were.
Yep.
No, some, I guess some are still alive. Aren't they?
There are some artists still alive, is that what you're saying?
I mean, a couple of the big name artists are still, are they not alive? I don't know. I'm thinking of Salvador Dali.
Right.
Is he alive?
No, he's gone.
What's the other one I was thinking of? It's Dali that paints the noses and stuff, right?
Whacked out, another, like he's on acid kind of painting.
Yeah. There's another name that I was thinking that the person was possibly still around. Is there a big painter of our time still around? Anybody?
Well, not really, no. No one's really, out in the forefront, like when Picasso
Andy
was...
Warhol, that's what I was thinking of.
Oh, you're thinking Andy Warhol.
Is he dead?
No, I think he's still around.
Yeah, see, there you go. That's who I think I was thinking of, but... there's a few, yeah.
And what kind of painting is Andy Warhol known for?
Andy Warhol?
Yeah, he was the pop art guy. He is the pop art guy.
Yeah, he has something more to do than just painting, though, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he was into all kinds of stuff.
He was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Not all big art. Like, you seem to think a lot of big artists, like, they were born in, like, Van Gogh, born in Holland, and a lot in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. Although Andy Warhol was born in 1928, so he's not a youngster, but you think of most of them as being European. And
a lot
Warhol
of them,
was
yes.
born in the States.
Yep. And a lot of these big guys, they ended up going other places, and they rejected their original home for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
They got away from wherever they were at and went down either into the islands or somewhere to get away. Because I think most of them were mad, I think.
I just see here that Warhol died in 87.
Oh, he did die?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I didn't go to his funeral. I must have
missed
that.
One of his films, it says, was a man sleeping for 6 hours. Yeah, the pop art king.
Yes.
Van Gogh, of course, born in Holland in 53. Who else? Pablo Picasso, Spain.
Yes. Picasso, he has an interesting story. There's a lot of his earlier sketches are in an art gallery in Cleveland, of all places.
Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting where he started. He did a lot of technical drawings, and also there was a religious order, I think there was, and he used to do the illustrations for their historical books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so these guys get their... It was work for them, you know, it put bread on the table and whatever, and it was stuff like this where these artists would develop their own style.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Okay.
Yes, and here we are. Back with the Jabbercast, Big JD and Lippo on streaming internet radio.
Talking about all things art.
Yeah, all things art this week. And we were talking about actual artists, like painting artists. What would you call them?
What would I call them?
Graphic artists.
Painters. Graphic artists.
Painters. Their computer was... How about Monet?
What about Monet? I missed that first part.
Born in Paris.
Yes.
I'm just bringing his name up. That's all.
Okay.
Claude Monet.
He's a favorite of mine. He had a style that was known as impressionist, I believe.
Sure.
Where things weren't exactly as they appear before your eyes. He added... It's like a special effect. It's like running a filter in Photoshop on a picture.
Yeah. It was pretty wild, actually.
I'm sure I would get slapped across the face by some art connoisseur by saying that. But if you think about it, that's what it was. But it was through his own eyes, and he saw this before he even... put the brush on the canvas. He looks at something and he sees it a different way.
Yeah.
And then he's
extremely natural artist.
Not many people were able to do that. Like you say, Van Gogh, and then there's Monet. I think both of those guys had very humble beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
I know Van Gogh died poor.
Mm-hmm.
So he had this big, huge body of work that he did, and he didn't reap any benefits from it.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, you know, how they're perceived now, and they have no idea.
No, it's kind of sad, but in a way, I guess we wouldn't have that art probably if...
When we're gone, the Jabbercast is going to be huge. How about Henri Matisse?
Henri Matisse, do you have any history on Henri Matisse? I'm familiar with his name.
Well, he was French, and born in 1869. And he first got a degree in law, then decided to become an artist.
Really?
Yep. Henri Matisse. He's the one that painted the Matisse Falcon. Oh, that's Maltese, sorry.
That's right. And that's a statue, by the way.
He had cancer, became confined to a wheelchair, and he completed one of his most famous works from his wheelchair.
And that is?
The inside of the Chapelle du Rosaire.
Your French pronunciation is amazing.
It's exquisite, monsieur. Is it not? No?
Way.
Garçon. Silver plate. He died in 1954. Same year you were born. No.
What?
There's a few names that I don't recognize that are, prominent artists. Born in Switzerland in 1887. Paul Klee? I don't really know Paul Klee.
Paul Klee?
Sure.
No, never heard of the dude.
But Leonardo da Vinci.
There's a guy.
Born in 1452. That's long, long ago. Painted the Mona Lisa in The Last Supper.
Yep.
How did he paint pictures of Madonna and her kids back then? Madonna and Child was a famous painting of his.
That's right.
She wasn't around then.
Unless she's had lots of
surgeries. But Mona Lisa, that's just an incredibly a big thing. It's funny, though. Salvador Dali painted the Sacrament of the Last Supper, while Leonardo da Vinci painted The Last Supper. Isn't that something?
Yes, it's kind of interesting how art and religion were put together a lot. In da Vinci's case, though, I believe what happened was he was commissioned by the priests and the churches to do this work for them, and so he would paint, you know, the Baptism of Christ, the Last Supper, Madonna and the Child, and all these things, because he was getting paid to do it.
Right.
It wasn't like Van Gogh, where he was doing whatever came out of his brain, stuck it on a piece of canvas. He was getting paid. It was all money driven, for the most part. He was commissioned to do most of the work that he did.
And, right.
So it makes you wonder, really, what he actually thought of the work he was doing. And a lot of people think that a lot of stuff was put into his work that was his own, and there's like little secret messages in his work. Like he'd do stuff in the painting of whatever, Madonna and the Child or The Last Supper or whatever. Leonardo da Vinci, a artist who had a lot of influence on other artists later on in life. He possessed a mature style, I would guess you'd say, at a very young age. So he was brought up early to great artistic expectations, I guess you say. He was sent to, what's the guy's name? Verrocchio, I think.
Uh-huh.
He went to his workshop to, you know, to learn whatever he could learn. And for the most part, he was more inspired by the work that was going on in Verrocchio's workshop. And he continued on in his own style, I think, and just continued on. And they just kind of looked at him. He's like one of those child prodigy guys, you know. Like you go, they go there to learn something, but turns out they're doing most of the teaching, kind of thing. And wasn't he and what's the other guy? They were working together in Florence, I believe, like literally a block from each other. What's the other famous Italian artist that was working with Da Vinci? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Italian?
Italian, yeah. Michelangelo. Thank you very much.
Oh, Michelangelo, yeah.
Yeah, Michelangelo. He was in Italy working, doing work for the church and for other people who were commissioning him.
Of course, he's the one that did the Sistine Chapel.
That's right. So, like I say, all these artists who were any good were getting commissioned by monks and priests. And then there was the people who also commissioned them just to do work in their mansions or their castles or whatever.
Sure.
And the thing about Leonardo that really amazes me, that he wasn't only a painter, he was also a sculpturist either. And the stuff that he did was just amazing as far as realistically portraying the human form, especially.
Yeah.
I think he studied it at great length as far as, you know, the muscles and how light falls on them and all that kind of stuff. He really took that to a different level, I think, as far as realistically portraying humans.
It seems like a lot of those artists were French-born. Renoir, another one.
Yeah, those guys came later. Those are the in the 1800s.
Mid-1800s, yeah. Born anyways, yeah.
Yeah, these guys were in the 1400s, and then there seemed to be I shouldn't say they created a big vacuum, of course, when Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci created this great body of work. Their work lived on, and it just not much could go at that high. So it wasn't until a couple hundred years later that new art came out, and there was a new what do you want to say, a renaissance. That's what it is. It's renaissance. That's the word I was really looking for. I was
renaissance
talking
time.
So guys like Renoir and Monet mm-hmm. were starting something new. And of course, there's also the fact that people were becoming more into art. A larger portion of the population was able to appreciate art and buy their own art, and art became more important to the population as a whole.
They're even making songs about it today.
And what kind of songs are those?
Monet, 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 Monet.
Monet!
And what do you do for Monet? Little AC/DC there for you. We're going to take another break, but first let's let our listeners know how they can contact Big JD and Lippo.
Okay.
You can visit us at www.thejabbercast.com. And of course, we're live on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. You can find that information at thejabbercast.com or bigjd.com.
Yeah, bigjd.com. Let's push that brand.
Let's push that brand.
I love it.
Yeah, bigjd.com. You'll find you know, all the other shows that we do,
mm-hmm.
podcasts, radio shows, the live shows Saturday and Sundays, and a plethora of information. And you can email us at hearmeout@thejabbercast.com if you like, or what's the way that we prefer?
Go to the contact page on the Jabbercast website and go to the My Chingo widget there. Click on the leave a message button and talk into your computer, somewhat like what I'm doing right now. And leave us a message. Give us a show idea. Tell us what you think of the show. Anything. Let us know what you're thinking.
We'll be back right after this. Okay, we're still on the art thing. Maybe we'll wrap up the actual painter guys and move on to some other art. I mentioned Renoir, and I think we kind of covered some of the biggest guys. No?
Yeah, isn't somebody in your or in Lana's family artist or something?
Yeah, her niece Nina
mm-hmm.
is an actress and doing rather well. She just got hooked up with the I don't know exactly what it's called in Detroit, like our Windsor Theater. It's a Detroit theater,
mm-hmm.
and she's got a big lead role coming with them, and she's also going to Stratford for that the special event they hold for a week, I think, every summer, where they out of I think thousands of would-be actors, she was chosen to go for this week-long thing in Stratford. It's like some type of a study program,
a workshop of sorts.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really good. So she's got that. She does also paint, and she paints really, really neat paintings, water paintings. And I've seen a couple that she's done, and it's different looking. She's really got, washed look.
She's got her own style already, you think?
Yeah, I think she does.
She's developing
something. It's pretty neat. She's really into the arts thing. She's she also plays guitar a little, and she plays piano and that sort of thing. She's into that kind of thing. And she just found Nirvana. And Pearl Jam.
She just found them?
Yeah.
She just found Nirvana. What was she doing, Acid Man?
But she's quite the little artist. And she actually did a Jeff and Lana show, which will air in a few weeks.
Get out, really?
Yeah.
I can't wait to listen to that one.
And you know, we've had her on the Jabbercast. She was at that time a member of the bullying committee at her high school.
Oh, that's right.
And we had her on the show. Actually, we did a little interview with her at the time. And she filled in for Lana for one of the shows, and it was kind of neat. She's a good little speaker.
Obviously. Not shy, I have to think.
In the last segment, we brought her little brother in as well, Dennis.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Have a little chat with him.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's what's up with that. And of course, you and I are both artists of sorts.
Sir, yeah.
I always have and always will consider myself a musician, whether anybody likes my playing or not.
That's right.
I still consider myself that I think it's a mindset of some kind. I don't know.
It's definitely a mindset. And I have to think you're more of an artist because you're more prolific, because you have not stopped recording.
No, I never have.
Everything just comes out onto tape, or now it's ones and zeros, but Big JD's got a huge collection of work he's been doing ever since his Wicked Angel days. Do you have anything before Wicked Angel?
Yes, I do.
Like music stuff?
You mean recorded?
Yeah, recorded music,
whatever. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I know you recorded a song with your grandmother, like when you were 3 years old, but I'm not talking
about that. Oh, that's the oldest thing. Yeah, yeah. No, but band stuff. Yeah, my first recordings were with, I guess, my first band and kind of pre-band before we even had a drummer, and I have recordings of that. And then a few different singers that we tried out and stuff that we had in the first band, and which was called Blizzard, by the way. And yeah, I have recordings of all that stuff.
Yeah, maybe you'll be like Van Gogh. They'll find your recordings and they'll become huge.
Yeah, I'll be famous when I'm dead and gone.
That's right.
Somebody else will reap the benefits.
Can I run your estate? Can I be
yeah,
your
sure?
Can I be your manager when you're dead?
Isn't that something?
No live gigs. Whereas myself, yes, I am a musician, but I don't consider myself as artistically inclined because there's nothing original that's actually being put down on tape or recorded or anything.
Where's your legacy?
Where's my legacy?
You know, the funny thing is, like I mentioned this before, you have everything at your disposal.
Yeah.
You got musicians in the family just waiting to record in the basement.
That's right.
You know what I mean? You got all the gear. You got everything there. And I'd love to hear the Lippo CD.
Maybe I'm just saving it up and I don't even know it. And it's just going to come on. It's going to be like, whoa, masterpiece.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm working on a new project. It's kind of a secret project. It's an acoustic thing with some people. And
people.
Very meaningful thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not just for the fun of it.
No, this is not just for the fun of it.
But it is fun, right?
But it is fun, sure.
Yes.
And I enjoy it. Music is a big part of my life. Not only listening to music, but playing music. And I think writing music and recording music, that's like a real big thing for me. And although I maybe don't do that as often as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I probably have, I'd say, 6 or 7 projects right now on the go. I always have a lot on the go, but to me, it still doesn't seem like I obviously spend as much time at it as I used to because I was like a full-time musician.
Right.
And, you know, now I'm not, and I get it in everywhere I can, but I have a lot of projects on the go actually right now. Two or three projects of my own and one of my brothers and this other acoustic project with a couple people, and even you and I have done a little bit of recording.
A little bit, yeah.
It was like pulling teeth, but hey.
That's right. what was I going to say? Oh, is your new bass involved in any of your projects?
My new bass will be involved in a few things, yeah, of mine, for sure. I'm really digging that. And like I had mentioned probably to you before, that's I'm a guitar player, but that's actually the first brand new guitar that I ever bought. It's kind of funny, and it's a bass.
That is very funny. Now you got to buy yourself a brand new guitar of some kind, with all the money you're going to get from selling a couple of the other ones.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. If I was to buy a brand new one, honestly, I think I'd spend the $11,000 and buy the MIDI Gibson Les Paul.
Nothing wrong with that, brother.
Yeah, just because of the color, I like it.
Just because of the color, it'll sound good too, though. Probably, you think?
I would imagine so, yeah. I would imagine. It'd be kind of neat, that's for sure. I don't think at that point it's about sound, because it's MIDI, you know? So it's not really going to, and nothing's really going to matter. It could be any MIDI guitar, honestly, almost, if you really want to get into the nitty-gritty.
Yes, you're right. Yeah,
it really wouldn't matter.
That's right.
But I guess it boils down to the feel of the neck and the playing, you know what I mean? But also the fact that it can be used as a regular guitar, so what else would you want?
That's right.
But a Les Paul. Uh-oh. Was that you making a noise?
Yeah, I just, sorry.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
No, I just, it scared me. I thought something shut off here on my end or boom. Something. Boom. So there's like art of so many different kinds.
Yes, there is.
And we kind of scratched the surface a little bit about some of that. I actually want to take a look at the Big JD and Lippo site. And maybe you have that up, actually.
Big JD and Lippo site.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I always call it the Big JD and Lippo site as opposed to the Jabbercast.
But, the Jabbercast site, okay.
Other entertainers, of course, Hollywood. There's artists in Hollywood, believe it or not. Some of them are. And I wouldn't say them all. Some are really big name, but I still don't know if I consider all of them artists. But there are a handful of very, very, very good actors.
Oh, and, for sure.
They are artists.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin Hoffman.
He's huge, of course, yes.
Sure, he's an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those other guys, like Pacino, and what's the other guy there? I just saw him in the, he's in Ocean's 13.
Robert De Niro.
Clooney, I think, is something. But De Niro, yeah. De Niro's big.
Did you just say George Clooney?
Yeah.
Do you think he's
an
artist?
I think he is an artist to a large degree, but not the same as the other guys. But I don't know. I guess just from watching him in Brad Pitt in Ocean's 13. I don't know about Brad Pitt. I think Matt Damon is really something. And over time, Jack Nicholson, incredible. That's an artist.
That's an artist, yes. His legacy is huge.
But I think Clooney is, I don't know. He's got a style. He's got... an ability, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I put that up fairly high, whereas Mel Gibson, I don't know.
I think a lot of these guys look at their trade as being an artist, like guys like De Niro and Hoffman and Jack.
Yeah, those guys, those are the ones that do.
You know, they look, when they go in to do a movie, they say, this is a piece of work that, they right. look at the big picture, they look ahead of time and say, what is this? Because it is their legacy, and they don't want crap being left behind. I think they really think about stuff like that, the big picture. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think. What about Bruce Willis?
it's hard to put some of these guys in the artist category, even though I'm sure.
Yeah,
they
you know, I think they're in a subcategory, maybe. You know what I mean? Sort of like him and Clooney and. Some of those guys.
Right. They were in good movies.
Category.
They did a good job in the movie, but
right.
was the character that they created in the movie the reason why?
Maybe it takes some more time because some of those guys that we mentioned that are in the big leagues, the huge leagues, are a little more distinguished.
Sure.
And they've niched their place, you know?
That's right. But even if you go back and look at movies like The Graduate or One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest there with...
yeah, that's true.
You look at those guys and they were young and you knew that they were right into that character and they knew they wanted to do something that was going to leave an impression. Now, I don't know if it's because they just made movies differently back in those days or what the deal was, but it just seemed it was more... whatever, prolific, like I want to say. Well,
yeah,
something
I know what you mean, though, yeah.
Has some staying power.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
I
was just going to say, whereas maybe today, these actors, like we mentioned, like your George Clooney's and whatever, they may have the same talent, but they don't have anything to work with. These scripts that come down, it's just so, you know, it's everything's a sequel or it's just a story that you can guess within the first 15 minutes what the ending is going to be like because all these Hollywood movies are just so cookie cutter.
Yeah, there's not, it's like we were talking about the artists that stand the test of time and there's not a heck of a lot of movies that, you know, these days that come out, you know, that are really special, stand the test of time and in 20 years from now, 30 years from now that are going to be like just really something special, you know what I mean?
Right. What do you think about the directors of movies? Do you think they are artists as well? Like, let's say the director of
Lord, they're probably more so artists.
Pardon me?
They're probably artists.
Yes.
Some good, some bad. But I mean, that takes a lot of artistic ability to direct those sort of things. And then you got to look at the script writers and producers and stuff like that. A lot of them, there's a lot of art involved in that art field.
Yeah,
and that's behind the scenes, you know, they get noticed with through the guild and you know, those, whatever the awards they win there.
Yes, exactly.
It's the actors that get all the attention and that kind of thing. But, and it's a lot of people that are involved, like the directors and producers and writers and things like that, that have the potential to make that movie something that sustains, you know, and it doesn't always happen.
No. As far as movies go, within the last, let's say, 5 years, do you think what is some good art there? Do you think?
Oh man, I don't know. You know what? Things that really stand out, and there could be some bigger thing. But Lord of the Rings,
yes.
Even the Harry Potter movies,
positively.
Things like that are the ones that really seem to kind of stand out.
Those are the two movies
big
I had
epics
in my mind
and
too.
and there was a lot of time spent on them, and they're such an impact in society today, even, you know, like the Harry Potter books with kids and the, so the Harry Potter movies and honestly, some of the, something else that really seems to make big impact nowadays are some of the animated movies.
That truly is art.
You know, that's truly art for sure. And so many people that work on that, that, you know, where art comes into play, everybody that's animating and just the whole thing now that, how the animation itself has changed. You know, the view, the look of animation today, the original onion skinning on the table type stuff to 2D to now, you know, 3D and beyond, and the incredible stuff that, you know, Pixar and Disney are doing now. That's incredible stuff. And that's not only the actual films, but the idea behind all that is just something to be reckoned with.
That's for sure. If you think back to Walt Disney and he was creating Mickey Mouse, and now we have, you know, Shrek the Third, and
yeah, and now that has meaning when you say, "Oh, that's Mickey Mouse." When you say something's really, you know, just cheap and chintzy, "Oh, that's so Mickey Mouse." It can really be Mickey Mouse now because of where we gotten to.
That's right. Yeah, I never.
You know what
of
I'm
that.
Talking about? Yeah. So that's neat. What about like graphic designers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as artists.
I think of myself as somewhat of a low level graphic designer. I think if I did it full time, I probably would be able to hone my skills a little more.
I think of you as that as well.
Because I think the more you do that kind of stuff, the better you get at it, and the more
and the more
inspired.
People have to ask you how to do stuff.
That's right, and I love that. Because if I can have some influence on the work that somebody else does, it makes me feel good.
Well, I know you've done a few things, you know, for some of the projects that. Not only I was working on, but Lana was doing for the university.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
you know, so that's not only was it appreciated, it was, we know you have a skill. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of graphic designers who definitely are a big part of everybody's life that we don't even really notice, you know, you look at everything.
And who are they?
There's the guys behind the scenes. There's the Burt Monroys, the David Crosses, and guys, you know, whose names don't mean anything.
Yeah, names I don't know.
Yeah.
You may know because you're a little more involved in it, but they're names that most people don't know.
Right, exactly.
Yet they're, you know, you look at billboards and signs and advertising and especially things like that, and there's big people behind some of this stuff. And they probably get used for lots of things.
That's right.
And we still don't know who they are.
It was a graphic designer who created the Nike Swish. Or the Coca-Cola. Oh, maybe the Coca-Cola. Yeah, the whole Coca-Cola thing too, sure.
Sure. What? And something that kind of fits into a similar category would be the photographers. And we're going to talk about some photographers when we come back right after this.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were going to mention photography.
Before
there are some big photographers.
Can I just go back just 1 second?
Oh, sure.
JD, sorry.
Yeah.
The whole graphic design thing, I want to ask you, when you were a kid, did you eat cereal in the morning?
Sure did.
Yeah. And did you stare at the cereal box at all?
Sure did.
Yeah. I remember when I used to look at the cereal box. I think this is kind of where I was intrigued by how graphic design really affected, you know, the stuff that I looked at. I always used to analyze the way the artwork was put on the box. And why did this guy do this? And
how it was laid out and everything?
Yeah,
like,
how it was all laid out. I'm just wondering if anybody else did that. I'm just thinking of that right now. I was like, I remember sitting there thinking of all this stuff many mornings, you know, and I would enjoy looking at the cereal box.
Mm-hmm.
For like whatever, however long it takes to eat a bowl of cereal. I just wonder, you did similar type of
oh sure, yeah, that's always intrigued me, art and the way, and you know what intrigues me more than just like the art itself is that layout, you know, because I'm sort of an organizational freak, and the way things are set up, situated, and laid out is always something that's on my mind when I look at things. Doesn't matter if it's looking at things on a shelf, looking at pictures and or newspaper magazines, the way things are laid out, or when I'm laying out, organizing, or putting things in their place.
Mm-hmm.
That's always something for me, and I think that's like a you know, it's a form of art, and art in the way that I would look at that, you know what I mean?
You have an artist's eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to get at. Like, you notice the crooked pictures on my wall.
Oh, yeah, yeah. those kinds of things are just, I don't know. That's always a big thing on my mind, the way things are, like, situated and the view of things, you know?
Exactly.
And even that kind of plays into spoken word views and things like that.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, I don't know if it's an art form or what, but I mean, not only the view of looking at things, but views on a particular take on a subject or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of sort of comes into play there somewhere. What's my view on that? You know, or how do I think that looks or works, or you know what I mean?
Oh, I see. Yep.
It's another form of something.
Another form sort of something.
Yeah, it's another form of something.
It's an alien form.
It's art to a degree, I guess, or something. I don't know.
Sure.
And even like this broadcasting thing, I think it's an art, and it can be an art form, and there's some guys that are better than others and in this field, you know what I mean? Like broadcasting and podcasting now, things like that. But it's an art field, and we're trying to make our niche here.
Sure.
We're doing pretty good, I think. Got lots of shows on the go.
Yeah, we're having fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to photographers.
Yeah, photography and photographers. There's some guys now, I probably don't even remember most of the names, but the first thing that kind of comes to mind for me is like the magazines, the rock magazines and stuff. You always kind of see the guy's name who took the pictures of bands and things. And isn't there a Ross Halpin or something like that? And I can't remember all the names, but those are one photographers that come into mind. There's obviously some big photographers that shoot models and all kinds of things like that. I don't know if any what comes to mind with you for photographers, but it's an art form, photography and picture taking.
For sure. I put photographers kind of in this, or I should say the photographers that do the photo shoots for the magazines. They're similar I think they're artists, but they're commissioned to do work. So, you know, when does it stop being art, and when does it become a job?
I think it does when it's, you know, they're photographers and they put things on and they have their displays, you know, in certain places and things like that. Those are the ones that maybe that are the true artists, you know, the ones that make a living doing specific photography, those kinds of things, I think. You know, it becomes an art form eventually, and a lot of them are, you know, renowned artists. Renowned photographers, but yeah, there's a lot of people that are just hired guns, and they do really well and probably make good money, but they're not so much maybe I would consider as an artist, mm-hmm. You know.
Yep.
But there's got to be that knowledge there and that artistic knowledge of not only, you know, how the camera works and how the lighting is and all that, but for me, again, it's the visual, it's the angle, it's what's in the picture, what's cut off in the picture. You know, those kinds of things are like the important thing to me. And I don't know, you probably know that about me more so than the lighting and those things. Cause that's, I think you, I don't know. I think you look at everything, maybe a little bit of the bigger picture, because you look at the lighting and the colors and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that's a little bit secondary to me. It's the shot, you know what I mean? And you probably would look at my shot and think, well, that should be a little bit lighter, and this needs this, and you know what I mean? That's what I think.
Right. It's all in the eye, and what we all think is what should look good, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
What someone thinks looks good is
me,
one thing.
Me, it's always, it's the, you know, the position of everything and the actual, just that layout, you know, what's in the shot, how centered everything is, and how off-centered something should be to incorporate something else in the shot, you know, that kind of thing. And then aside from that, I mean, if it's really bad, yeah, I guess I would know. But as far as, you know, me just looking at pictures, I'm not as worried usually about colors and, you know, those kinds of things. And we had lost Lippo there for a moment, and he's back. He's here.
He's here.
He's here.
Yeah.
It's the next best thing. Skype, actually, is what we're, you know, we had mentioned that this show was actually pre-recorded because you are not available this Sunday. You're coming back from your trip then.
Yes.
Because we did do a live show last Sunday while you're out there.
Yep.
But you'll be on your way back this time and can't actually do the show. So we're actually using Skype to converse. and recording it in our respective programs, and we'll put it together later. It'll be edited and streamed on Sunday.
That's right.
That's how that works. And so we lost him for just a second.
Well, we were talking about photographers, and now
and so
you do a fair amount of photography.
Yeah, I do an extreme amount.
Oh, an extreme amount.
Sure.
That's what Big JD's all about, the extreme.
Yeah, he is. It's fun.
Awesome. Just another part of your legacy.
That's right.
You'll have all this music and all these pictures left behind.
I have gigabytes and gigabytes of photos, actually. But I mean, like family pictures and stuff. Yeah, I take tons and tons of that. And video as well.
Wow.
Freaky. Super freaky. And you, I know, you take a fair amount of pictures.
Fair amount. I'm sure I've taken a lot of pictures this week. That's for sure.
Yeah. And so you know what that's all about.
Yes.
We're into the digital camera realm.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of neat stuff. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this with this week's Jabber Quote.
Awesome. Jabber Quote, Jabber Quote, Jabber Quote. Jabber Quote, Jabber Quote, Jabber Quote. Loose lips sink ships. Stitching dabs in line. One in the hands with two in the bush. Jabber Quote, Jabber Quote, Jabber Quote.
Jabber quote. Okay, this week's jabber quote. Did you have a jabber quote, or do I have a jabber quote?
You have a jabber quote.
I actually have a. You know, in the we were talking about art and artists and so forth today. Well, Leonardo da Vinci. This is a quote from Leonardo da Vinci. He who possesses most must be most afraid of loss.
Yes,
that's kind of neat, kind of deep. Sort of.
And what is that going to do with art?
Face. Well, I don't think the quote is necessarily to do with art, but it's a quote by Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh.
I mean, unless you want to do a twofer and have an actual art quote.
No, that's cool.
There were some things on art, but I don't think they were really as meaningful. You know what I mean? They seem to be like personal to the artist kind of thing almost. And this one is like more generalized for kind of anyone. He who possesses most must be most afraid of loss. You know, if you're jealous or maybe you just hang on to things, you're more afraid of loss or more apt to maybe be hurt or saddened at loss when you possess greatly.
Yes.
It may mean material things or non-material things.
Yeah. That's a very interesting quote because it makes you think,
yeah.
Do I want to be feeling like I have lost something? Whereas if you had nothing, you would never...
Exactly.
You wouldn't feel no loss.
Kind of like a Big JD quote, he who has nothing loses nothing. There you go.
Say that again?
He who has nothing loses nothing. You like that?
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
That's right. You heard it here first, folks, on the Jabbercast.
I guess there's another quote that comes to my mind as far as art goes. There's a guy named... Right. Theophile Gautier, and I'm sure you've heard of the art for art's sake quote. Oh, that's just art for art's sake. Do you ever hear? You never heard of that?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Art for art's
sake. I wonder if I heard anybody say, oh, for art's sake. No, so art, that's just art for art's sake.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, guys like Van Gogh and Monet, they created because it was in them and had to come out. Whereas other artists were creating art just for art's sake, just to make art, you know.
And who is this guy, Art?
Artie.
I'm just kidding. Linkletter.
Our Linkletter. Art for art's sake affirmed that art was valuable as art, that artistic pursuits were their own justification, and that art did not need moral justification, and indeed was allowed to be morally subversive. I'm getting that from the web. Of course, I'm reading.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's the quote that comes to my mind when I think of art for art's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of stuff out there is art for art's sake, and we would normally call that just crap. But anyway, that's this week's Jabber Quote.
Jabber Quote, sir.
Quote, sir. Yes. Okay, onward. What do you want to cover next in the realm of art on the Jabbercast this week, Big JD?
Artichoke.
Artichoke.
The artichoke. Actually, artichoke, isn't it spelt, is that spelt like A-R-C-T or something? Or no?
No.
Is it spelled like it sounds?
It's A-R-T.
Artichoke.
Yeah. I think it's spelled just the way it sounds.
I thought for some reason it was like Arctic choke.
Well, you know up, I mean? Up north they do have Arctic chokes, but that's the Indians choking
that's
each other.
That's when you strangle somebody in the winter.
Yes, exactly.
Arctic choke.
Arctic choke.
Oh, I'll pull the Arctic choke on him. It's a wrestling move. I clicked on dashboard and it takes so long for it to come up, like crazy.
Yeah. Why are you doing that?
I'm just playing around a little bit.
Playing around in dashboard. My resources are not spread thin enough. I think I'll just fire up dashboard while I'm
recording. Well, I wanted to get an exact using the dictionary what an artichoke is.
Oh,
which
I
is
see.
A European plant cultivated for its large thistle-like flower heads.
I honestly can say I've never eaten an artichoke.
Yeah, we eat artichokes quite a bit, actually.
Do you really?
Yeah.
And how do you prepare your artichokes?
I don't know. Lana makes them, and I think I'm trying to think of where she puts them because I don't get half of the stuff. I don't understand half the stuff I eat. But she puts artichoke in.
She sticks them down your throat, doesn't she?
In like I think salad and sometimes on things like some of the chicken or fish and we get you know if we on Sundays we have pizzas and we'll get a veggie pizza with artichoke on it.
Now isn't there an artichoke heart?
Artichoke hearts, yeah, that's part of the artichoke.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know a great deal about it actually. I don't really. I'm not the preparer of artichoke.
Why are we talking about artichokes?
It's got the name, the word art in it.
Yeah.
My buddy's dad's name is Art.
Do you know that fart has the word art in it too? But we're not going to talk about
farts.
Yes, it
does.
We're not talking about farts this week.
Well, actually, now that you bring it up.
Oh.
No?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm just kidding. But I have a desktop widget and dashboard that's a whoopee cushion. And you press on it. It's got different fart noises. And that's kind of neat.
That's
now, there was somebody, obviously,
neat.
There was some kind of an artist designer that made that.
Yes, what a, you know what great I mean? Piece of work that is. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, a little wacky. Well, we're running into only a few minutes left in the show here, so I guess we will kind of wrap up the art thing. And I don't know if there's anything else that, you know, you might have wanted to mention about art or an art field. Is there any kind of I'm wondering if there's any art field that we missed or anything. I mean, we covered actors and artists of all different kinds. I think we pretty much covered the spectrum of what major art really is.
Mm-hmm.
Added a little bit of our own filler to that. Next week, what do we got for the folks, the fine folks? We have the conspiracy show.
Is next actually, week the July conspiracy 8th. Show, really?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
But that's hush-hush. We can't tell anybody about that.
There's gonna be
if
a lot
we
of,
did, we'd have to kill them.
There's going to be a lot of opinionated conversation on that show, I have a feeling.
Oh, we're going to get a lot of emails and phone calls over this one. We're going to talk about conspiracies, what conspiracies are and how they get developed and maybe talk about some of the conspiracies that, you know, we know of that have gone on.
That we're still being affected by right now.
Yes, we are. Absolutely. So that'll be kind of a neat thing. And obviously nobody wants to miss that.
I don't.
That's next week on the Jabbercast. And of course, again, you can, what's that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The Jabbercast, www.thejabbercast.com. And of course, go to bigjd.com. And to step you through bigjd.com really quickly, there's a program guide. There's a link to the program guide. And in the program guide, there's, you know, we do the Easy Mac podcast. There's a Jabbercast, the Jeff and Lana show, Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal show, You Talking to Me with Big JD. There's a bunch of different shows that we have there. And as well, of course, there's another shows page that has your Border City Radio podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where you DJ music.
That's what I do.
A music show.
Indie
it's
music.
Very cool.
From in and around the Windsor, Ontario area.
And? What's that other thing you say?
And
in and around the
everywhere
Windsor, Ontario.
Else.
That's right. Yeah. I like that. I forget sometimes what it is that you said there, but that's cool. And Harry's Philosopher's Corner, which I'd like to ask again, what's happening with Harry?
Harry is... I think the majority of the stuff that's in his brain is... It has been podcasted as far as what he wants to leave as his legacy on this subject of philosophy. I do have one more show in the can that I really should get out. And
oh boy, I hope it's the Kim and Lippo show. But
No, it's a Harry's Philosophy.
Oh, I thought you meant another show altogether.
No, I'm not doing any more shows other than the ones I'm doing right now. Unless something else comes up. But right now I'm not working on another show. I don't have any ideas for any other shows. And I hope one doesn't pop in my head because I'm too busy to bring it to fruition.
No, I hear you. I'm going through madness myself. I have 5 shows on the go and it's crazy. And bigjd.com, though, there's the program guide there where you can you'll find the links to all my other shows, the shows I do with Lipo. There's, of course, a little blog there where I put some information and some announcements about even the Jabbercast and us, Lipo and I, taking that to FM in the near future. And, of course, the other shows you can contact. There's contact information from there, from the Big JD site. And also you can listen live, which is the really neat thing. Right from the homepage, you can listen live to some of the shows that we have streaming on the internet. Internet radio, isn't it awesome?
Sure is. So you're going to be, you're still doing the Rare Rock Heavy Metal Show on Saturday mornings?
The Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show, Saturday mornings, that's right.
And that's at 10 o'clock.
That's at 10 o'clock,
Eastern,
Saturday mornings.
Eastern time.
Eastern Standard Time. Eastern Daylight Time, according to you.
Something.
And yeah, you don't want to miss that.
Nope.
I'll wake you up on a Saturday morning.
Okay.
So, anyways, we'll see everybody next week for the Conspiracy Show. Hopefully, I'll see some of our listeners on Saturday morning.
Yes.
So, everybody, take care. Thanks for listening.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email BigJD at thejabbercast.com or Lipo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, BigJD and Lipo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.